All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 191. I am Cheapy D here in Tokyo, Japan, the Whitey Town section. And of course, we have the lovable Wombat.
Yeah, my wife was just feeding me pretzel sticks dipped in Nutella.
How's the diet going?
The diet's going fine until my wife comes and goes, "You gotta eat this." So
nice. You know. And Shipwreck, did your wife do any dipping for you?
No, I've had no dipping recently.
Interested.
Yeah, sad.
But I had some dipping this morning, actually.
Really?
I did. While you guys were finishing up your work day, I was starting out the day right with a little dipping.
Little ooga.
Our bed doesn't have springs.
But it does have an old-timey car horn.
Of course. It has two of them, one on each side.
Ooga.
Yeah, Ty slept in this morning, so I made the best of the situation. Which was nice. Yeah, that was great. So everything's going great in the new apartment here. We're having a good time. I know I saw Wombat, you put this on the sheet here, because I tweeted last week, or a couple days ago, rather, that our bath computer went down, and people were very interested in the fact that we had a bath computer. So maybe I should explain what that is exactly. Because even Wombat, if Wombat put it on the outline, something about me.
I'm dying to know about your bath computer. Nah, honestly, I could care less. But people wanted to know, so I put it there.
Because usually Wombat tries to avoid anything that involves me talking about myself. So I thought, really, we must have captured Wombat's imagination here. Maybe not.
No,
anyway.
No.
Not really. Just, it was a slow news week, I guess. So anyway, everything like in Japan, they try to be like energy conscious. So a lot of the stuff in modern apartments revolves around, you know, saving electricity, saving water, whatever. So there's a little control panel in the bathtub room and in the kitchen. And what it does is it's like a computer, and it regulates how much hot water. It figures out how much hot water you use every day, and that's how much it makes. Okay? So it tries so you don't wind up wasting electricity heating up water that you're not going to use. The problem is, so it sounds like, and it's, you know, and of course, like in our bathtub, it's all automatic. So you just push a button and the bathtub fills up and it maintains that water temperature. And if water spills over the side, it, you know, it refills up the tub and all that good stuff. The problem is, the other day.
What? It refills the tub if it spills water?
Yeah.
How does it know this?
Because, I don't know. It's got a computer in
there. He has a sentient bathtub.
Yeah, this is pretty scary.
It's pretty.
His
like,
bathtub has come back in time to kill John Connor.
Well, don't you see? I have a video on my YouTube page, youtube.com/GBD, of me in the bathtub with Ty from a long time ago from my old apartment. But it's the same concept. Like, the bathtub and the shower are in its own waterproof room. So when you spill water over the side of the bathtub, like, that's fine. It just goes down the drain in the shower, basically. Doesn't get anything wet that's not supposed to be wet. But there's some sort of sensor in the bathtub that, I guess, knows how much water is in the tub and, you know, what level you can, you know, you have it set at, and it'll just, you know, fill it up and it'll keep it at the right temperature. So anyway, the problem was, while we were sleeping the other night, like a fuse went off or something, and the computer just shut down, which means that it didn't heat up any water.
Did you try unplugging it and plugging it back in?
Well, we did, but it takes, well, I just flipped the circuit. You know, in the circuit breaker box. Unfortunately, we didn't realize that it wasn't working until my wife was in the shower already. And at that point, it takes several hours to heat up the water. So she took a cold shower. She wasn't happy.
No. Ooga for you that morning.
Absolutely not. In fact, she was just like screaming at me, like, fix it. Meanwhile, like, Ty's screaming at me because he wants cereal. My wife's screaming at me because there's no hot water.
What, the robot didn't feed him cereal either? Right. What kind of hole are you
living
in?
Lousy robot.
Yeah, we need to get a new robot. So anyway, so that's the story of the bath computer system. Next week I'll tell you about the toilet computer system. But actually I have a question. I want to use this opportunity to pick the genius minds of the CAG audience, CAGcast audience. I have a legitimate audio question that maybe, hopefully, there's an expert out there that can fix this for me. So basically the only bad thing about this apartment, and some people would think it was a good thing, is that we're very close to Tokyo Tower, which is, you know, if you have a view of Tokyo Tower, that's considered like something pretty desirable. Unfortunately, we're so close to it that we get like, I get like audio interference through my like speaker wires and stuff because, you know, Tokyo Tower, it's a broadcast tower. So I don't even have a radio, but like if I put a pair of headphones on, like I can hear Japanese radio stations, which is annoying, obviously. And what I want to do is I want to buy like a home theater system, but I'm afraid I'm going to spend money on it and I'm going to be hearing radio because I have like this Logitech system now. And, you know, if I run the speakers any distance, I think the wires are acting as an antenna and I hear radio.
Yeah, you're going to have to get some like super shielded cables.
Well, I read here's the thing. Like I read that shielded cables are actually bad, but because like they could blow out your amp, but you want to get something I think called like twisted pair. But I want some expert out there to let me know what the story is. So my plan is I'm not going to buy anything except the speaker wire first and try that with my old Logitech system. And if it works with that, then I'll go ahead and spend the money on a proper system. You know, I want someone to give me like an exact type of speaker wire that I should buy. That would be good. I mean, it's so bad. You guys have, you know, I know all you, both of you guys have the X4 One headsets, okay? So they work. I don't get any interference when I use that, except when I plug in the wire that goes from the headset to the Xbox controller, that acts as an antenna and I start hearing radio stations. But if the wire's not plugged in, no radio.
No,
yeah, we had that
radio?
Growing up. Yeah.
No soap radio.
When I was growing up, we lived across from Voice of America, which was a big World War II thing that like broadcast all over the United States, I believe.
Right.
Like, there were just towers all over the place. So to fix that, we moved.
Well, I can't move. We just moved here.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I needed to get that fixed because I like surround sound.
Yeah, I don't know if there is just a quick get it fixed. Just saying.
I don't know, but that's my guess.
I think Shipwreck has the solution.
Move. I'm not moving. That's not a solution. The other solution was, and one of the KAGs actually recommended this to me, is Yamaha makes this digital audio projector that gives you surround sound in just like one speaker. And the speaker, you know, has the actual amp built into it. It's all built in. And then it like projects the sound off the walls and ceiling and everything to give you a surround sound effect. It's rather expensive, so I'd rather not go that route. And also, you have to like mount it to the TV and get a stand and all this shit, and I just don't want to be bothered with that. So I'd like to avoid that if possible, but maybe I can't. Or maybe I'll just continue to do nothing, which is always seems to be a route I take pretty frequently.
It gives you something to complain about for a few shows, at least.
Exactly, because everybody likes to hear about the problems in my luxury Tokyo apartment.
I've heard that you actually get more interference if your cabinets are white. Did you read that anywhere?
They're gray. Yeah, I got the new cabinets, Wombat.
I know. I saw pictures.
They look nice.
They do look nice. They are nice.
They're nice cabinets.
Thank you.
Can't say that.
Yeah. You can. Yeah, it's only $1,000. If you stretch that over 3 years, it's not that much money.
So you're renting.
Yeah, we're renting. Yeah.
They made you pay for the new cabinets in your rental. That's what bothers me.
No. They didn't make us do anything.
They tricked you into doing it.
Are you paying for new cabinets in a rental?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's BS. It's a rental. It should be. That's the landlord's.
They were new cabinets already. My wife didn't like the color, and they didn't have any more of the other color left.
Now she didn't like the color. Now it's that she wanted them.
What do you mean?
That was the story.
Revisionist history.
She didn't like the color. That was the whole thing.
That was the whole story. Okay. The cabinets actually aren't getting changed. It's just the cover of the cabinets. You know, it's the color. It's just the color.
Yeah, my wife didn't like the color of our cabinets in the kitchen either when we moved in.
And what happened?
We painted them.
Yeah, but you can't paint these. These are not wood cabinets. These are, I don't know what they are. They're like, I don't even want to talk about, I feel I'm complaining about my luxury Tokyo apartment. It's people are throwing up right now.
Fine. We're done. We'll move on.
I'm going to complain about something else.
I went skeet shooting on Saturday.
Yeah. That's probably a lot of fun.
It was. It was 12-gauge shotguns.
Yeah.
So I want you to picture me shooting a 12-gauge shotgun right now.
I picture a lot of jiggling going on in your mid-region.
Nice. I have a bruise on my arm that's gigantic.
I think people don't realize, I mean, people who've never fired a shotgun before, is that the thing kicks pretty hard.
And it does, and I held it wrong for one round, and that's why I have a big bruise.
Right.
Once I learned how to hold the shotgun properly, the pain went away. And I did terribly. I hit, I think, well, wait, I'll tell you right now, 12 out of 75 shots I hit.
That's pretty bad.
That is. That's pretty bad.
You know, we may be the only two New York Jews who have fired a shotgun before.
Yes. Have you ever gone skeet shooting, though?
I told you, I went on a carnival cruise when I was in college.
Yes, like, spring and you break. Shot like 8 shots.
They had 10, yeah, they had skeet shooting off the back of the boat, and they shoot the, you know, you say pull and all that, and the thing flies off, and you shoot it with a real shotgun. Which, the funny thing, of course, is that you're on a cruise ship, and they give you a shotgun. I could have just turned around and started killing people.
I could have done that at the shooting range.
Right. They don't do that anymore on cruise ships. They stopped that a long time ago, I think.
I bet they did. This was fun. It was a good time.
It was. I thought it was a lot of fun, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially after you have a few drinks in you, because you're on a cruise ship, you know.
Well, yeah, no, I had no booze in me, but...
I went 8 for 10, I remember.
That's not bad.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it probably doesn't go that far.
Yeah, I think mine might have gone a little further than yours, but since we were outdoors in the woods.
Right. That sounds like fun. Hey, I want to ask our audience a favor, okay? And I don't know if you've ever had this problem, but I get this problem all the time. So sometimes our audience members, they listen to something on our show, right? And they're only like half listening, like, you know, they're listening to the show and they're surfing the internet or they're playing some game. So they're sort of, they get half of what we're saying, but they miss the important part. And
really? I've never experienced that before.
But then they go ahead, then they go ahead and they email somebody that, you know, that was involved in the conversation that we had on the show. And of course they get it completely wrong and they make us look like, or make me look like an asshole. So we had one of our listeners, Brian. I remember, like, I don't know, it was like maybe 2 months ago, we were talking about Giant Bomb, and I was saying how impressed I was with the site, and, you know, that they get a lot of traffic in a relative, and they haven't been up that long, and, you know, that really that Jeff Gerstmann and the other guys definitely played a large role in getting that site to be so successful so quickly, and I hoped that they had some sort of ownership stake in the site because that they deserved to get paid at some point. Pizzade, not just like a salary, but like, you know, money, real money. So Brian, one of our listeners, emails the Giant Bomb guys saying, hey, Cheap Ass Gamer says that you guys don't own the site and that you're employees of Whiskey. Is that true? No, that's not what I said. So then, of course, they write the guy back and they say, oh, yeah, we do own part of the site. So don't make me look like an asshole and saying, you know, making a statement that's completely true.
Are you sure you didn't say this? I can't hear you saying this.
You said part of it. You did kind of say that.
I said my whole point was that I hoped that they owned a portion
of the site. Yeah, you did say that you weren't sure, but
I didn't know. But I was hoping for their sake, because I would imagine that they would get some money out of it at some point.
I actually didn't know what the deal was, but now I guess we do.
Yeah. Because they obviously do a lot of work, and they're obviously responsible for the taking us. It's very difficult to take a site that has no visitors and make it have a lot of visitors.
Especially, you know, when they have terrible taste in games.
Exactly. You know, it's one thing, like, you get a job at GameSpot, and, you know, that's pretty easy. Like, you know, you already have a built-in audience. But to take nothing and turn it into something, it's very difficult. And I was hoping that they were going to, you know, there's a chance that they were going to get Pizzade someday. And so Brian has confirmed it. But Brian, write those guys back and tell them that
you kissed their ass a lot in this episode.
Exactly.
So well, they're going to be at PAX East, so I'll try and smooth things over.
Yeah, give them a reach around for me.
I will.
I hope you got long arms.
Eh.
Anyway. Last show, we did a show.
Like hunting for mushrooms with a blindfold on.
Anyway, so we did a show last week, and people commented on it, as they usually do. Frisky Tanuki has quite an extensive comment here. He says, concerning the $85 Heavy Rain, I mentioned how I passed on buying an $85 copy of Heavy Rain at the local store here. He wanted to know, how much do I play the $200 band kit for the Beatles Rock Band? First of all, it was a $250 band kit plus shipping. Although, actually,
you know what I saw that for in Target today?
$130.
$62.
No. Yep. The whole thing. The real thing, not the,
the
not
real
the budget
thing
kit.
For the PlayStation 3.
Amazing.
$62.
Did you buy it? You should buy it just to, like...
I would have bought it if it was for the 360, but did I really need, like...
more shit.
I didn't need another copy of the Beatles and another whole set of instruments.
Right. So anyway, Frisky, to answer your question, it was more than $200, but I do use it. I played it this morning. Ty loves that game. He loves the Beatles. He'll walk up, he'll say, Beatles game, Beatles game, Beatles game. And then he makes me put on All You Need Is Love, because that's actually one of the theme songs to one of the kids' shows that he watches here, called Be Punkiki. And he just makes me play that song over and over and over again. And he just likes to sing into the microphone. So I do use it a lot. What's this next part? Wombat, read this next part, because I don't even know why you want me to bring it up.
Well, what are we talking about?
You can paraphrase it. It's Frisky's comment here.
He just was concerned about God of War 3, and there were a lot of comments about God of War 3, and I just wanted to... There was some sort of misconception where people thought I said that they should be releasing a God of War game like every year or something crazy, which isn't what I said. I think I was actually pretty clear in saying I thought they should have released a God of War 3 game before the one that came out now, so that they should be able to say God of War 4 as opposed to God of War 3.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
But I got... Yeah, I know, but I got a lot of criticism saying that I wanted Sony to, as a lot of people put it, Guitar Hero. Frisky Tanuki didn't say, but a lot of other people on the forum said that I wanted them to Guitar Hero God of War and saturate it, which wasn't what I said at all, and I just wanted to clarify that. No, I just think they should have released one other God of War on the PlayStation 3 that wasn't the collection.
Right.
Between now and when the console was released.
It was November or whatever, 2006.
Yes, and I am aware now, and I do blame Shipwreck for this. This is why we have him on the show.
Right.
For not letting us know that God of War 2 came out after the PlayStation 3 was released.
Well, I knew that. I thought everybody
knew that. Yeah, I thought, why? Yeah. Why did you not say that?
The way I said it, people thought that I was saying that, you know, God of War 2 came out and then the PlayStation 3 came out.
No, oh. I played God of War 2 on the PlayStation 3 because there was not much else to play.
That is very true.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, I think most people would consider like 2 years between sequels a fair amount of time, right? I mean, is that too soon to have a sequel?
No, that's about right. That's about the pace they've been on, though.
Okay. Well, you know, the PS3 came out in 2006, and now it's 2010.
Yeah,
quite a bit of time. Quite a bit of time. Let's see. What else we got here? Anyway, Frisky also said we should certainly do more extended segments on games that we've played. I think it's sort of rare that we all finish a game.
Well, I was going to propose, since I have this game now, doing Bioshock 2 when I finish it.
Okay. We could do that.
Yeah.
I think
I know you do. I figure we'll try and finish that one up and maybe get that done before PAX East. So the next one we'll do will be Bioshock 2.
Very good.
Yeah, that sounds fair. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, the reason why I picked Frisky's post was he basically touched on everything. Me saying Chime is a bad game. Because this was something else that a lot of people brought up, that I'm a jerk for not liking Chime.
I agree. You are.
My question for you is, if the game wasn't for charity, would you still like it?
Yeah, it was. Look, it's $5. It's which is like basically... unheard of for an Xbox Live Arcade game these days, right? How often do you see a $5 game? That's, you know, never. And it happens to be a really good puzzle game. You know what? You probably played it once and didn't quite get it. It takes a little bit of time before you actually get it. But it's a good puzzle game, and it's unique in its own way, and the music is really cool. Yeah, I mean, it could use more songs.
I don't like the music. Maybe that's it?
Maybe.
Because it's not my kind of music?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I just don't like it. Right. I just didn't. I played the demo like 3-4 times.
Yeah, it takes more playthroughs before you actually understand the whole concept of the game and how it works.
What about you, Boat Crash? What did you think of Chime?
I think it's relaxing. I still don't know that I have a firm grasp on what exactly is the best way to play it, but I like it. I mean, it's $5. It's hard to go wrong with that, and it's well produced.
I don't know. You can get a lot of games for $5 these days.
You can name one.
Sure. Dark Sector.
It's $10.
I saw it on Amazon for $7.60
plus shipping.
That's 50% more than what Chime costs.
Right. Okay.
And I guess you have a point.
I know. And it's also one of those cool games that you can just go back to time and time again, you know, because it's on your hard drive. You don't need to put a disc in. And if you just feel like playing something.
I guess, fine. I'm wrong.
Chime okay. Is a great game. Finally, we want that admits he's wrong about something.
I'm wrong. Everyone go buy Chime today.
Thank you.
The Wombat seal of approval.
Right. Does that mean that?
Or if you really want to be a good person, find out what the charity is, because I forget what charity it is that the money goes to, and just donate $5 there.
Okay. Well, Yino says, you know, I kind of liked Wombat when I first started listening to the CADcast, but now I can't stand him. His annoying jokes, dumb laugh, the DRM on Assassin's Creed 2, and him now bashing Chime? Screw you, Wombat. Just take him off and keep Shipwreck. At least he adds to the show instead of taking away from it. Well, you like Chime now, so... Maybe.
Well, no, I think that he makes a good point, and this will be my last episode, so...
All right.
I think I take plenty away from the show. I really resent that.
Right. Okay. Shall we move on to the new releases?
Oh, why not? It's my last show. I can do whatever I want.
Right. Go nuts, dude.
All right. So this week, Final Fantasy 13 finally came out.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Came out for the PS3 and the 360. I actually don't know all that much about it. I just keep on hearing everybody is a little bit disappointed and that it's super linear.
I believe it's linear in the beginning of the game. And by beginning, I mean like first 10 to 15 hours of the game. But I don't know. It's one of those games that like I'd probably rather hit myself in the face with a bat than play it.
I'll pick it up and play it.
But you won't like it.
I might like it. I mean, I've liked some of the Final Fantasies in the past.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. I'm just not that hyped about this one. The kind of realistic art style they're going for now, it's just, I don't know. It just looks like too many other games now.
Breasts aren't big enough for you, Ship?
Exactly. I don't even, like, that's a dude or a girl? That's a girl on the cover?
Who knows?
Yes, that is a chick.
Okay.
What's the difference in these types of games? You got those, you know, beautiful boys.
Yeah, I don't know. I was in a GameStop today, and they were talking about it, the employees there. So,
hey, did you guys play Final Fantasy yet?
That was pretty much it.
Man, Riku is so cool. He's going, wah, wah, wah.
Mm-hmm.
I cried at the end of 7, did you?
I don't understand the backlash against 7 now, actually. Like, it's hip not to like 7 now.
So I'm finally cool?
You're finally cool.
It's about time.
Right. Also,
yeah. Sorry. I guess you know we are not a good team to talk about these Japanese roleplay. What's your pick?
Someone on Twitter when I posted, "What do you want to hear on the CADcast?" He goes, "He just said I want to hear some Final Fantasy 13 talk," and I wrote him back and I said, "I'm sure you'll hear Final Fantasy 13 talk on a lot of other podcasts."
Well, Ship likes playing Japanese role playing games, but I guess just not Final Fantasy.
I don't know. Nothing I've seen about it has really wowed me, so
yeah.
I'm in the middle of a bunch of other games, and Final Fantasy 13, I don't know, it's just not doing it for me. I will be getting Yakuza 3 in this week for review.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. That's on the PS3, finally came out this week.
Yeah, I like the demo. I encourage everybody to try the demo.
Yeah, Yakuza 3 is a different game. I guess that's where... I'm not that interested in Final Fantasy 13 because it just doesn't look to be doing that much different. Even though it's a lot different than past Final Fantasy games, there's nothing there grabbing me. Like Yakuza 3, at least it's got the whole open world and it's got the brawling. And it's got all the different side missions, even though they've taken out some of them.
You can slam people's heads into desks and stuff.
Yeah. It's just more fun. Like,
yeah.
I want a game to be fun.
You want to step on people's throats.
Let's see what else.
No host, but you'll do without the hostesses, I guess. The hostess minigame.
Yeah, that's all right. It wasn't that great to begin with.
Yeah, Twinkies aren't for everybody.
Oh God.
That joke will never die.
No, unfortunately not.
No.
Resident Evil 5 Gold Edition came out this week as well, which includes the new DLC and all of the past DLC.
Okay.
And it's $50. I didn't like Resident Evil 5, so I'm not the best person to talk about this either.
Me neither.
I liked it. I liked the game. I actually played through it like 1.5 times. But I also don't have it anymore, so
yeah,
that's my answer to that.
I didn't like it when it corrupted my save file. That wasn't too much fun. I'm sorry.
That's understandable. And yep. Blaze Blue, which is a game I do like, came out for PSP this week, but I don't think that I particularly like to play it on the PSP. It's a pretty fast fighting game, and that does not equal PSP for me.
Nope.
And then for the Xbox Live Arcade, there is Scrap Metal, which did you guys try the demo for that?
No. How did you try it?
I tried it out this morning, yeah. It seems like something I would buy for $10, but again, this is that $15 price point.
Right.
And it's a lot
I was going to say it's like RC Pro-Am or Rock and Roll Racing.
Yeah, it's like a modern-day twist on RC Pro-Am.
Oh, and, I used to love that.
Yeah, it's a fun game to play. It's just it's $5 too much, I think. But you do like you almost upgrade in the same way you do in RC Pro-Am too. Like you get better traction, like better engine, and everything as you go along, and you unlock a whole bunch of different cars that you can keep in your garage and customize them.
Does it work
them.
Best with the Max controller?
Does it? I mean, is it a multiplayer heavy type game?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely is going to be better multiplayer.
Okay, well, I'll check out the demo. I mean,
yeah, you might like the demo. I had fun with the demo. I'll just wait until it goes on sale.
Right.
And that's pretty much everything major that's coming out this week. I guess Mega Man 10 is coming out for PSN as well. I know that came out last week for WiiWare, and it's coming out sometime for 360.
Cool. Well, I'll be passing on that.
Yeah.
Well, but, thanks.
This is something I was thinking about. Wombat and I had talked about this kind of briefly earlier in the week, but with Yakuza 3 finally coming out this week, I was curious as to how many Sega games have been released so far this week, or so far this year. And I looked it up. We're in the 11th week, or next week will be the 11th week of the year. And after next week, they will have released 10 games already this year. How many of those 10 games can you two name?
Wait, I'll try first. Let's see.
You go first.
I'm not looking because I don't have enough time. Bayonetta.
That's one.
Sonic Racing.
That's two.
With the aliens and the predators.
Three, not bad. Doing all right.
Wait, I could do more. I could do better than this.
Well, there's one this week we just talked about.
The one that we just talked about this week.
You've really been paying attention, huh?
Yeah, you know.
Yakuza 3.
Yes, Yakuza 3, that one. Wow, I'm trying to think what else, because those four I could do. And, Oh, was there anything on the Wii that I'm missing? Probably too, right?
Yeah, these are all retail games though. No downloadables.
Okay,
just 10 retail games that Sega has released in the first 3 months of 2010.
I was getting No More Heroes is Ubisoft, right?
Yeah, that is not Sega.
Yeah. Well, it feels like one of
those. We give up.
Yeah. What else we got?
Okay. You missed Sands of Destruction. Vancouver 2010.
That? Oh, yeah. Like, I would have gotten that one.
I did a review for Vancouver 2010.
Yeah, but who knew that it was Sega?
Yeah, exactly.
Or who cares about Olympic Games? I think
there's Super Monkey Ball Step and Roll for the Wii.
Ah, that one.
There was Sonic Classic Collection for the DS. And then next week, there is Resonance of Fate and Infinite Space. Those are two separate titles.
And what are those games about?
RPG-ing.
Nice. Are they Japanese RPGing? Yes.
I would assume that they are Japanese RPGing. I don't know. Like, I just looked at the release list for this year, and it's just been ridiculous these first 3 months. And then April, it kind of slows off. And then May, there's 16, like, what I would consider major, like, big-name titles coming out. And it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't understand how, like, what's going to be this fall? Like, are there going to be enough games this fall to fill up a whole year like they're trying to do now?
Gears of War 3.
Well, that's what, that was my prediction, yes.
Yep. Fable 3.
Okay.
Natal.
Natal 3.
The Sony Wave with Little Big Planet 2.
Yes. I mean, it just, there's so many games now. Like, I'm worried about, like, companies like Sega and stuff. Like, how can you release 10 games in the first 3 months and there's no way all those are going to be profitable?
Right. You think they shot their load way too early, you know?
So. Well, that and
how
just
many
don't
of these games have been sitting on the shelf?
Well, we know Bayonetta definitely was.
Yeah, and the two games that were sitting
on the shelf. And Yakuza 3 definitely was.
Yeah. So it's not like these games were made all at the same time. A lot of these games were already made, and they're like, well, we might as well release them somewhere else. And it's more about pressing a disc and slapping it in a box than it is about making a game.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see what Sega's financials look like after this this first half of the year, because they have been putting out games every week just about.
I think it's really going to depend a lot on how Sonic 4 is, too.
We'll see.
All right. That's it for the new releases, right?
I think so.
We're
way past that. So let's move on to the game shopping and CAG news. I want to announce the winners for this week's Wishlist Wednesday contest, where basically you just put games on your wish list, and I will draw two winners at random, and they can choose any game that is on their wish list. So this week it's 24Fan and Luxorific. They both have won the game of their choice.
What did last week's winners pick?
I posted it, actually, because Shipwreck asked for that. I will tell you if you give me
a second. Yes, tell us. That's the exciting part of it.
That is exciting. Okay, I posted what everybody picked actually, in the Wishlist Wednesday thread. So last week was Stormtrooper, who picked Final Fantasy XIII, and Masked Plague, who picked God of War 3. So, and they both, you know, Final Fantasy was for the PS3. So, yeah, everybody's picked a different game so far, actually. Week one, we had Bioshock 2, Demon Souls, Alan Wake, Heavy Rain, and Red Dead Redemption. So, no overlap yet. Also, I need to announce the winner of last week's StarCraft 2 beta contest. And that winner is Atoh. A-T-O-H, I guess, is how you spell that. So, congratulations. I will be contacting you with the details.
That really helped our comments last week. Yeah, I think this week we should give, like,
I know.
StarCraft 3 beta.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we have anything else to give away? Because that was kind of fun to watch, to read all 120 comments, all 11 pages of comments.
It was like 200 comments, I think.
Yeah, it was a good amount. So what else can we give away? Yeah. Do you have anything?
I have money and things.
Money works.
Money works. Can you give someone, like, an XBLA code from Amazon or something?
I could do anything. Yeah, but maybe they have a PlayStation 3.
We could also do PSN codes from Amazon.
Okay, you want to give away like a $60 Amazon gift certificate or something?
Okay, that's a little more generous than I was going to be, but sure, you're a generous guy.
Sure, all right. You can win a $60 Amazon gift certificate if you just post a comment in the show thread, that's all. You know, you don't have to mention the contest. Just give us a comment, some feedback on the show, and...
Try and make it positive, or not.
Doesn't have to be positive. I like negative too.
Constructive is the word I meant to say.
Yes.
Constructive. Try and make it constructive. Tell us how we could be doing our job better.
Right. Also, I posted the 7th annual Cheapy Award winners.
I was robbed. What's that about?
Right. So yeah, we didn't. I mean, there's like 18 categories, so I'm not going to go through all of them. But Wombat and I were both nominated for the CAG Villain Award. And I did come in second place to Hal Halpin, the ECA president. I'm glad I didn't win. That would have bummed me out, I think.
I came in third.
You did come in third. I was, you know, I got a lot more votes than I thought I would get.
People don't like you. What do you expect?
I mean, the big story, which is the same story every year, is that Amazon wins everything. So, and even when we make up new categories, they win those too. So Amazon won Best Online Retailer, Best Online Customer Service, Best Online Deal for their Black Friday sales, And the new category was Best Game Trade-In Program. They won that, too.
And they also won Best Website with a Z in the title.
Yes. Right. Zappos.
I just like the fact that they gave me $25 today for trying to buy those Marvel omnibuses.
Well,
you got
happened?
That too, right?
Yes, I did get it. Yes. So is it omnibuses? On Sunday, yeah, on the buy. Sounds good. So on Sunday, I just get home from the supermarket and my phone rings and I look at the name on it and it says Mr. Good. So I answered it. And he told me that I need to go onto Amazon right now because they're having a big sale on Marvel omnibuses, which normally cost like $100 each, and they're clearing them out for $8.88 a piece. So I go on there, and I wasn't greedy. I only picked two. I mean, I could have put like 15 in my shopping cart, but I picked two and a CD for my wife, and so I could get the free shipping, and I placed the order, and then 2 days later, or yesterday even, I read on Twitter everyone complaining about how their order was canceled out of the blue. So I go onto Twitter, and I go onto Amazon, I log in, and I see they removed the items from my pending order queue. Like, they didn't email and say, oh, by the way, we have to cancel your order. They just removed it.
Right.
No warning.
Right.
So I called Amazon, and they said And they said, oh, yeah, we're really sorry. It was a pricing error, so we removed the items from your order. And not only that, they removed the items from my order, and because I got the three things so I could get free shipping, they then added the shipping onto my wife's CD.
Nice.
So I complained, and I said, well, could you at least take the shipping off the CD? Which they did. And then I got an email today, as did Shipwreck, saying that they apologized for the inconvenience and that they were crediting our accounts $25. So I go and I look back again at my wife's CD purchase, and the shipping that they had removed 2 days ago, they added back on again.
Well, but you got $25.
But I got $25, and then I just canceled the CD anyway.
Right.
Yeah. $25 for that.
Pretty generous.
Pretty generous, yeah.
Yeah, $25 is incredibly generous. I was pretty happy with that.
Well, now you know why Amazon got 81.5% of the vote for best customer service.
And now I just need to figure out what to get with my 25 bones.
Right, some game. Any other of these awards that we should mention? Some other new awards this year was Best Used Game Retailer, and that went to Gamefly, with GameStop coming in second. And let's see what else is new here. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Well, you can check out the whole thing. It's on the front page of CAG. And we gave away two $500 Amazon gift cards. Band Episode and Major Gamer Geek were the winners for that. Giving away a lot of stuff here on CAG. You can't say that we don't give away a lot of stuff. Well, you can say it, but you'd be wrong.
You don't give away a lot of stuff.
What do you mean? You're wrong. You can't say that. You can't say that.
It's called a setup.
Yeah, thank you. I fell asleep there. Sorry. I'm a little slow this morning. Some deals that we could talk about. Sunday ad deals that end on Saturday the 13th. Toys R Us has a buy one, get one $20 off sale on all in-stock PS3, 360, and Wii games that are $39.99 and up. And Target has Kingdom Hearts 3, 5, 8 divided by 2 days for the DS for $19.99. Whoever came up with that title should get kicked in the nuts really hard. I mean, that's silly.
Yeah. Target's also giving away a $10 gift card with Final Fantasy 13.
Right. A lot of people are.
Yeah. I was looking at that today. I was pondering it.
You think, buy Final Fantasy 13 or not buy? All right, I think that's it for the game shopping and CAG news. Oh, we got the just an update on our trade-in value tracker on CAG, where you can look up the values, the trade-in values of games, which you would guess from the title of it. We now are completely automated when it comes to the Amazon trade-in values, so those will all automatically be inputted by our system and always up to date. But we are getting a ton of GameStop ones, too. I mean, I would imagine we have most, games in the GameStop catalog, and the prices are up to date. So definitely check that out. And big shout out to JP0213, who does a lot of work submitting those trade-in values. We're also adding a new little feature on CAG. So you know how we have that big search bar on top? Well, you can type in the name of a game, and then you'll be able to click a little button, and it'll pop up a window with all of the pricing information. And we're going to be able to use that throughout the site. So you won't have to like leave the page that you're looking at to view all the new prices, used prices, trade-in values, and all that shit. So Super Programmer John being very busy. Let's do a quick ad, I guess you would call it, for GoDaddy.com. Wombat's favorite place to register domain names such as?
Wombat Rocks.
Wombat Rocks, yeah.
I don't think that one's taken.
Is that taken?
I doubt it.
CheapySucksRooster.com.
WombatHatesChime.com.
WombatHatesChime. WombatHatesCharity.com, I believe, is still available.
Yes, Wombat's offthecagguest.org.
Yeah, WombatQuits.com and JulianaPie.com.
Right. So we have a lot of coupon codes available for you. 10% off any order, CAG10. $5 off a $30 order is CAG 5 off 30, and $6.95 domain names at CAG domain. Use coupon code CAG domain at GoDaddy.com. Get your cheap web hosting and domain registrations right there. Word. That's how they ended their Super Bowl commercials, right? They went, word. No?
I thought they ended it with to be continued.
Oh, and big cans.
And big cans. Well, yeah. Yeah.
I'm rubbing my cans on the microphone right now. Do you know I'm so mad at Tokyo Tower because of what it's doing to my audio setup that, you know, we have a right from our bedroom window, you can see Tokyo Tower, like, and one of the observatories is just a direct sight of our bedroom. So every night before I go to bed, I show Tokyo Tower my nuts and anus just to get some revenge on it. But you might want to know that. So if you do come and visit Tokyo Tower, if you come at, you know, if you go at nighttime, you might be able to see my anus. So you get a lot for your $8.
Astronomers from all over the world are now going to flock to Japan to see Uranus.
Thank you.
No problem.
That's called the setup.
That is. Yes. We are the Milton Berle and Danny Thomas of podcasting.
All right, let's move on to multi-platforming because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. And I think something that's been on all our minds and hands lately, well, at least Wombat in mine, is the Just Cause 2 demo.
Yeah, I played that. Yeah, you played it. We all played it.
Oh, look at us. Anyone going to talk about it?
Oh, I was like, No, I like it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
They really came up with that mechanic with the grappling hook plus the parachute is really like quite a brilliant innovation there. I mean, I don't recall ever seeing that done before. I mean, sure, you got like, you know, the hook, grappling hook in Bionic Commando and to a lesser extent Lost Planet, but it's nothing like the implementation here. And the whole world taking place on this big island, this mountainous big island, and it's quite amazing. It's quite a sight.
And there's a ton of vehicles. And did you fly a helicopter at all?
Did I fly the helicopter? Yes, I did. But yeah, they came after me with another helicopter.
Oh, did they? That's funny. Yeah, I was parachuting and I got shot at by a helicopter behind me. And I blew up the, whatever it was, that thing that looks like a James Bond villain base.
Yeah, oh, when you go cool. into the silo and you have to overload the thing.
And then you have to get out before it blows up.
Yeah.
It's pretty badass.
It's really cool, and you can tell they're from the Saints Row school of game design because you can really see that the emphasis is made on fun here and not just like, you know, trying to be super realistic and, you know, like your grappling hook goes really far. Like you can shoot that thing. So, which is great because you're in this huge open world, and if they didn't do it that way, you could see how getting around could be really kind of slow and tedious, but it's the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, I wish there was a way. Is there? Maybe there is. Maybe I just haven't figured it out yet. Every time I grapple something, I just like kind of cling on to the side. I wish there was a way to maybe flip me up top quicker.
Well, you can launch if you launch the parachute while you're in the middle of your grapple, you can fly up on top.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying like an animation or something to where I could hit a button and it would just automatically kind of smoothly flip me on top of whatever I'm trying to grapple to, instead of me hanging onto the side and then jumping up there.
Right, right. I hear what you're saying. But you could probably accomplish the same thing using the parachute, is what I'm saying. At the last second, pull the chute and just fly, you know, you'll land right on top.
Did you try grappling onto one of the barrels that shoots itself up in the air?
I couldn't do it. Were you able to do it?
I did it. It didn't turn out well for me. It didn't go as exactly as planned.
What happened?
I got up pretty high, and then it exploded, and then I fell a long way.
It's amazing. I mean, I really recommend everybody check out the demo.
How fast do you have to be on the draw to get that to work?
It took me like two or three times to get it to work.
See, I tried it. Because you shoot it, but you have to shoot it, then launch the...
Yeah, you have to shoot it while it's like lifting off the ground.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a time demo. It's 30 minutes, and I was having a hard time actually being able to play through the 30 minutes. It kept getting interrupted by different stuff going on in real life. But finally, the other night, I was able to put aside 30 minutes and made it through, and I was like, give me more. I need more. So I'm definitely picking this up. I mean, the demo, this is an example of a really good demo.
They basically just gave you the game, but you had it for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just try the game for 30 minutes. It's a good way to do this kind of game.
I really like the mission structure, too. It's just like, you're just going around blowing crap up. It's what Mercenaries should have been. Mercenaries 2 should have been.
It is. It's very much of what I think we all thought Mercenaries was going to be.
It looks better, and it plays better.
Yeah, mixed with what Bionic Commando probably should have been, with a good amount of Red Faction Guerrilla tossed in there, which... You know, you can't go wrong with that. At least that's what I'm hoping it is. I don't know that because I don't have the final game yet.
It would be super sweet if it had co-op. Unfortunately,
yeah, this is a single player only DLE deal.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm definitely gonna buy it. I mean, this is definitely download the demo if you haven't yet, because I think it's really a very cool game. Also, did you guys try the Blur beta?
I did very quickly though.
Yeah, I tried it last night. I did about two races last night.
Well, as I like to call it, Wipeout on wheels.
Is that what you like to call it?
Well, I don't really like to call it that.
I like to call it Mario Kart Adult.
I like to call it Frank.
I like to call it a game on the Xbox.
Right. I think it's on PS3 too, though.
Is it on PS3 too? I thought Bizarre Creations. Does Bizarre Creations make? Yeah, I guess they do.
Yeah, but they're owned by Activision now.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Shipwreck, is that true? Fact checker,
that is
Shipwreck?
True. That is
okay,
true.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, it probably is coming out then.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kart racer, but with...
real cars.
Like, yeah, with real cars. It looks like a Need for Speed Tokyo Drift type of game, but just all about fun. Like, there's a lot of games coming out that are about fun. It's amazing.
Imagine a game about fun.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
It's got like the whole cool like leveling up system to it too and everything.
Yeah, Blur is coming out for the 360, the PlayStation 3, and the PC as well.
To me, I mean, just from the demo, it didn't seem like there was really enough game there for me to be interested in buying it at full price. I don't know. Right.
I don't know. I think it does a lot of things right. I like the online, you know, leveling system a la Call of Duty, and I like that it's sort of. It's not really a kart racer, but it has that kart racer aesthetic of power-ups and shooting things, which I think is kind of cool. A little bit of Burnout tossed in there. And
yeah, it's like a better version of Full Auto.
Full Auto, that's what I thought the entire time I was playing. I was like, oh, this is Full Auto, like 4 years later or whatever.
Right, a nicer-looking Full Auto.
I liked Full Auto alright for like a launch title for the
360.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, for a launch title, it wasn't bad.
Did you try the mode that has, I forgot what it's called, but you can have 20 cars on the same, you know, playing at the same time?
I haven't yet, no.
Oh, that's the second. There's two modes you can choose from. The default one is like smaller race, but the other one is up to 20 people on, you know, all at the same time. It's pretty wild.
That's what I played. I'm like, wait, yeah, that sounds right. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I just don't know if there's enough there for me. I mean...
Well, I mean, it's not going to have the customization of, say, Forza, I don't think.
No.
No, but I think it's still a better route for Bizarre Creations than trying to make a sim game because there's Forza and Gran Turismo, and I don't know, you know, I feel like that market, you know, has what it has. Yeah. I don't know if we need another sim racing game right now. And yeah. I think a fun arcade style racing game that does things a little just different enough, I think there's room in the market for that.
Okay. I think Burnout's better, but anyway.
Well, you know.
Burnout's awesome, though.
Burnout's been out for years now.
Yes, right. I was going to say, okay, Burnout's not new anymore.
We'll see, and of course, this is just a demo, but
you're
going to
get a new Gran Turismo
beta.
5,
beta.
And you have a new
beta,
Forza.
Right, excuse me.
It's the beta.
Right. All right, so we'll see how the game progresses. I don't remember when it's coming out, but...
It's coming out in May.
In May.
With
okay.
all the other games.
All right, so also, I've been playing more Battlefield 2. I've played a lot. I played the single player and the multiplayer.
I don't have it.
I mean, you want to talk about the single player first, Ship?
Yeah, I really haven't played too much of the multiplayer. The single player, I still like the... Last week I said that I like the mechanics and everything, and I think it's fun to play. As you play more of it, you step past this line and the enemies run out and then you shoot them all. Mechanic kind of like comes to the forefront a little bit, but... They put you in a lot of fun situations, like you're flying around in helicopters or you're driving a car and trying to do a high-speed chase type of thing. It's all stuff you've seen before, but it's really well done.
Yeah, I'm on the helicopter part right now.
That's fun.
The gunner of the helicopter. Yeah, that gun is pretty good. It's the presentation of the game is really top-notch. It definitely compares very favorably to the Modern Warfare 2 single player. In every way, I think graphically and
yeah, I think Call of Duty hides the mechanics a little bit better, though.
How do you mean?
Just that I can tell, like, okay, I just cleared out all these guys, and now I jump down into this riverbed, and I walk two steps, and all of a sudden there's 15 guys that jump into this riverbed when there was just nobody around.
I see. It's a little more gamey.
Yeah, it's a little bit more gamey, which I don't really have a problem with per se, but it... Just like knowing going in that it's like that. It's not bad, but it's just it's not as realistic, I guess, as what Call of Duty is.
The sound is very impressive, I find. I mean, I'm playing with the X4 headset, and it's
pretty awesome.
It's pretty amazing. The gun sounds are just they sound real. It sounds like just so loud, and you know, it's very impressive. I'm having a lot of fun with that, and the multiplayer, which is why most people buy the game, is also a lot of fun. I'm terrible at it, apparently, but it is it looks great. I mean, I think people like to compare this with Mag, I guess, because they're both come out around the same time, and certainly graphically, presentation wise, this game blows away Mag. I mean, it's not even a comparison. As to which is more fun, I think that's probably an individual choice, and I don't know if I've played enough of Battlefield 2 to make a decision on that, but they're both definitely worthy,
There's just something about the Battlefield shooting mechanic that I really like. It just feels good.
Oh, all right. To me, I don't know, I seem to suck more at Battlefield than other first-person shooters.
Terrible at it online. There's no question about that, but I'm always terrible about those type of first-person shooters, like the big go-anywhere type of people coming at you from all angles and vehicles and everything. I'm terrible with that stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. It takes a while till you get your groove going. I like the rush mode, I think, the best, where you're defending or attacking 2 points, and then when you blow them up, the map opens up more, and you move on to the next ones.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Front Lines game that was out.
Oh, okay. So I don't know. I like Battlefield. It's a very well done game. There's no denying it. It's great. It's a good alternative if you're sick of Modern Warfare 2. You should definitely check out Battlefield 2. So there. Wombat, you want to talk a little bit about BioShock 2? How much have you played so far?
Yeah, I was gonna say I haven't played very much. I just got to Ryan Amusements, so I'm pretty early into the game.
But, you're really early then.
I know, okay, but so far, I like what I've played so far. It's more BioShock. My only complaint is it would have been nice if they sort of changed up the plasmids. You know, I have two so far, and it's the same first two you get in the other game. Like, oh, wow, I got electricity first. That's really novel.
Yeah, I felt the same way, actually.
It would have been, like, it really would have showed that they were trying to do something different if the first plasmid you got was either something completely new. I don't know what it would have been. I don't know, like a glue plasmid or something stupid. Or, well, you know, that may not have been like an acid, a corrosive plasmid.
Sure.
Does that exist? They don't have that, right?
No, it's not in there.
Yeah, so instead of shooting a door lock to make the door open with electricity, you would shoot the door lock with your corrosive one, and it would melt away the lock, and you could get through the door.
I honestly can't for certain say that there are any new plasmids in BioShock 2. There might be.
Are there bees? Because there were bees.
There's definitely bees. The bees are awesome.
Are there hounds with bees in their mouths, and when they bark, they shoot bees?
Yes.
Good. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. So, I mean, that would have been nice, but, you know, nitpicking aside, it's very good.
Yeah.
And I want to do, when we all finish it up, we'll do another round table.
Excellent. Well, in that case, let's do some multi-platforming news on live, which is I guess you would call that like a game, cloud game service?
Cloud-based gaming service?
Yeah, so basically what it does is you sign on to the service and all the processing of the game is done on their computers and you wind up playing the game on your computer, basically streaming it from their computer. So it doesn't really matter what kind of, you know, 3D card you have on your computer. You're just really playing it on somebody else's computer and looking at it on yours. So they've announced that they're launching on June 17th. And it'll work on PC or Mac, because like I said, you're not actually really playing the game on your computer. But you do have to pay $15 a month just to access the service. Now, that doesn't include the actual price of the games. So you'll be able
games
to rent...
Games that you don't own.
You'll be able to rent or buy, you know, quote-unquote, buy games. But that $14.95 a month does not include those, you know, those rentals or purchases.
And if you purchase a game, that means you still have to play it on their service.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you can't just buy the game, and if one day you get a computer that could use that could run it, no.
No. No, because you're not downloading anything except their client. You know, the game is never on your computer. It's just streaming to your computer.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to do too well.
But we'll see. I mean, I guess the real unknown factor is what type of latency is there going to be? You know, what kind of delay is there going to be when you push a button on your controller?
Well,
I'm going
to say, if there's even a slight delay, are you going to want to pay $15 a month plus?
Right.
Did they say anything about the micro console or whatever, how you're going to play it on the TV?
It's coming later this year.
No pricing or anything?
No. I guess not. So we'll see. I mean, I'm definitely interested. I mean, look, the problem is I'm in Japan, so I personally probably won't be able to use this. But it does seem like an interesting concept, and especially if it actually works. I mean, that's the real question. Does this thing actually work? And the answer is, I don't know.
We'll have to find out. Gosh, there's just a lot of just the not owning the games even more so than not even having them on your hard drive.
Right, right. Then, you know, do you really own the games that are on your Xbox Live Arcade?
You don't, but they at least feels like you kind of do.
You almost own them.
No, you don't. Right. You don't even kind of own them.
Right. So
you're just borrowing them until your 360 is irrelevant.
And if you want to do HD gaming, you need a 5 megabit connection.
I guess I'm not doing HD gaming.
You don't have a 5 megabit connection? What kind of connection?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. It's slow. It's kind of slow. It's Time Warner Cable.
Oh, you probably have at least 10. I have 100, in case you want to know.
You need that much when servers are talking to your bathtub.
That's right. Right, there's an option. That comes included with my rent, the 100 megabit connection. But if I want to pay, I think maybe like $20 a month, I can get a gigabit connection. But I haven't pulled the trigger on that yet.
Oh, you need to.
I do?
Yeah, just so you can get stuff faster than anyone else you know.
I already can.
I was going to say, because you already do. But Shipwreck
and I were talking about playing the Blur beta, and it was like 1.5 gigs to download.
Yeah, it took me like an hour and a half to download it.
It took me 6 minutes.
Yeah, I was 41% done when Chibi started, and I was 46% done when Chibi finished.
Yeah, and then we didn't play it anyway. I went and ate lunch with my wife. cool thing is, like, my wife now works, you know, a 20-minute walk away, so we can go eat lunch together. So I'm not alone. I actually have human contact during the day now.
That's not... Do you, like, call her every day for lunch now, though?
Well, she just moved to that office this week, so we've had lunch twice so far.
Excellent.
Yeah. Also in multi-platforming news, Wombat really wants to talk more about Ubisoft's DRM.
I'm not even being involved in this. I have to thank X-Ray Zwee, by the way, for the Blur beta code. Yeah. So, and I should also thank Lego, who's also a CADcast listener, who was kind enough to send me his extra copy of ODST, so I could finally play it and get the beta for Reach.
Oh, cool. That was nice of him.
I agree. So thank you both.
So quickly, I just wanted to mention that Ubisoft is the victim. Their DRM server was the victim, I think, of two denial of service attacks, which basically knocked the servers offline, which means that nobody could play the game. So, I mean, how they didn't see that this was going to happen is really, like, amazing to me. I mean, it seems quite obvious that this was bound to happen. You know, the problem is when you're dealing with DRM and pirating, you're dealing with people who have a lot of free time on their hands. And, you know, Ubisoft has certainly, you know, maybe they got a couple guys working on the DRM, a couple of guys working on their network and stuff like that, versus, you know, how many thousands of hackers and pirates out there who are just, you know, just waiting for something like this to come along so they can fuck with it. You know, they can't win, really.
You done now?
Yep.
Okay, good. Let's move on to something else.
Okay.
I'll talk about this next thing.
Okay.
I'm a lot more excited about that than DRM. Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light was announced and detailed, launching this summer for Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. It is downloadable only, but it's only $15, and it is a two-player online co-op game. Oh. And I like Tomb Raider, so they said I think somewhere I read that it was going to be about 6 hours long.
Isn't
yeah, and joystick
almost,
it says approximately
isn't it like
6 hours long.
A slightly different perspective than normal, too.
Yeah, it's a little bit more overhead, kind of three quarters view. But it still has, like, all the same type of puzzle solving, and, like, the graphics look similar, like, the environments and everything still have that Tomb Raider vibe to them. So, I'm excited. $15.
Same graphics as, like, the last, what was it, Underworld or Underwear or something?
From the screenshots, you can't tell if they have quite that level of detail. They look good, but since all the character models are farther away, it's kind of hard to see, exactly how great it looks, but
yeah,
I'm interested.
It's a more arcadey view than it's not. You know, it's not a behind the back third person game,
right? And the characters have big circles around their feet, so you can tell who's playing as who,
right?
So I don't know. I'm $15 for Tomb Raider game. I'm interested in that.
All right. Let's move on to Sony then, shall we?
Sure, I played God of War 3.
Yes, I just played it. You finished it and wrote a review of it.
I did. That's a good game. People should play that game.
Yeah, it's good, huh?
They might be onto something there.
Yeah.
That is like God of War 1 and God of War 2, but prettier and more refined, I guess. Like everything about that game just links together so well that you... Like, it takes 9 hours to finish, and I did that in... two sittings.
Wow.
Because it's just like you do one thing and then you'll clear out a bunch of enemies and then you're solving a puzzle and then all of a sudden you're doing like this big platforming bit and then you're fighting a boss and then you're fighting a god, then you're going over here to do this puzzle, and all the levels kind of like they don't directly link together in that you can't just like hop between the different areas, but portions of the game, you'll see how the levels are connected, and you will revisit levels. But it's just a really good game. The graphics are really nice. Something about them still doesn't always blow me away.
The graphics, you mean?
Yeah, I think some of that might just because God of War 2 looked really good already.
Right.
And this just looks like a lot. It's got a lot more detail to it, but it's still in motion. My eye just doesn't pick it up. Like, it obviously looks better, but I don't know. It just doesn't blow me away. But the lighting effects are, I think, what really differentiates it from the previous games. You get that, I forget whose head it is. It was in the demo.
Right. Yeah, that, I remember that specifically in the demo, when you pull out that person's head.
Yeah, you use it as a lantern.
And you use it as a lantern, and I just remember thinking to myself, wow, this looks awesome. Like, I wasn't like you. You know, while the graphics certainly look good from throughout most of the demo, I wasn't totally like saying, wow, this is the best thing I've ever seen. But then when you pull out that head, you're in the dark cave and you pull out the head, you're like, wow, this is the next gen God of War.
Yeah, yeah. It's little things like that, I think. Like the sense of scale and the way that all the cutscenes are done in game now kind of really like ties Kratos into these huge like beings and figures that are moving around, and it actually looks like they're together. It doesn't look like there's something that's been pre-rendered in the background and he's just like kind of superimposed in front of it.
Is he angry?
He is angry. He is still angry. He's very angry.
Just checking.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very much looking forward to this game. I mean,
yeah, they do some really cool things with camera angles and vantage points too in this game.
Were you disappointed in the story?
No, I thought it. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the GameSpot. Is it GameSpot? No, GamePro. GamePro.
Shipwreck sent me a link to the GamePro review, and what was it like a paragraph? Somebody cut and pasted together all the times the guy said he was disappointed with the story, and it was like seven times.
Yeah, like 80% of this review was just how he was disappointed in the story and how he had really gotten invested in the Kratos character and all the nuances of that character. I don't know. I've played the games. He's just really pissed off.
He's a one-dimensional character. He's an angry guy
who and he kills things. That's
right.
The game.
That's his character.
The whole point of the game isn't an impetus to tell a story. It's an impetus to kill things.
To pull eyes out.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That little sliver that he's like, he's that little sliver of him is like, oh, I'm sad that I was tricked into killing my wife and kid. Like, that's the only redeeming quality about Kratos. He's upset that he killed his wife and kid.
But he's killed. Think about how many people he's killed, just because of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I actually like Kratos as a character because of that. There's no question about what his motives are or anything. He's just straightforward. He's just pissed off at the world. Yeah. And he's just going to kill everybody.
Well, he's like Rowdy Piper.
He's very gamey. He's a gamey character.
You don't have to think about moral decisions in God of War too much. Although there are a couple in this that you're like, really? We're going to do this? All right, sure.
Did you choose the evil one?
Oh, there's no choice. You're going to do it. Oh. You're going to be stuck or you're going to do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no spoilers, but I guess. Okay, so it's not actually a choice.
No. There's no choice. The only choice you have in the game really is whether to do the sex mini game or not. But really, who's going to choose not?
Right. How is the sex mini game?
You can fail out of the lot, so it's kind of realistic in that way. it's fine. It's a God of War sex mini game.
What do you do? Does, I don't know anything about it.
It's 30 seconds and disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. It does some kind of humorous stuff.
So it's realistic. It's very
the
realistic.
Motion you have to do. It's very realistic in that regard. Yes. I flubbed it up probably 7 or 8 times and had to restart. So
I see.
Yeah.
Was Mrs. Shipwreck sitting next to you telling you that you're doing it wrong?
No, she was complaining that how come in a game you could do it 7 or 8 times in one night?
Right. Right. All right, so God of War 3 is awesome, is what you're here to say. You gave it an outstanding score.
Yes, we should all three play that and talk about it too.
Of course. I will get it as soon as it comes out. And finish it immediately.
I will probably get it after it comes out.
Well, the breaking news from GDC, which is going on right now, is that Sony has revealed officially their motion controller, which is being called the PlayStation Move.
I'm and really glad they stuck to the action verb. It worked well with Go.
Yeah, so PlayStation Move is definitely coming out, and it's coming out in different bundles. So you can buy it, you know, with a console. You can buy it with the, I guess, so you need the eye camera also. So there's going to be a bundle that includes the Move. I don't know, what do you call that thing? The wand, or I don't even know what you call it.
I think that's a Wiimote and a nunchuck.
Oh, okay. Oh, so there's two. Oh, so there's actually, I don't know anything about this, because honestly, like, I think this shit is all...
Honestly, you don't care? Is that...
It's not that I don't care. I care because I think it's the basically the bane of the gaming industry right now, all this focus on this. So I didn't even realize this. I'm looking at joystick right now, so I see the picture of the thing that looks exactly like a nunchuck, a Wii nunchuck. So you have to hold two things. Note. So you hold this, and you hold... the Wiimote. So it's a black Wiimote and nunchuck with that says Sony on it.
Well, it tracks movement differently, but for all intents and purposes, it's basically easily described as a Wiimote and nunchuck.
Okay, so the difference that I can tell is that this is using a camera instead of what, infrared?
Instead of I think it's doing it instead of both the infrared and the accelerometers.
Okay.
I really don't know what all the moving parts are inside this, but the Wii captures it from the accelerometers in the controller, and then it does the pointing with the infrared.
Okay. And then, so they've also revealed that certain games are going to support this controller. The Move. God, that's just an awful name.
I don't. What is it? Is that the right-handed part of the controller? Is that the left-handed? Is that the camera and all three things?
I think it's the whole system is called the Move. Okay. It says the Move, and then there's the sub-controller attachment. That's really catchy.
That's catchy right there.
Man, this... I don't know,
dude. Sweetie, can you give me my sub-controller attachment from the couch? From the couch, please.
Right. Oh, I think I dropped the sub-controller attachment on the floor. Can you get that?
I would play this game with you co-op, but I only have one sub-controller attachment.
Right. I don't think that's the official name for it. I don't think we know. But they have said that it's going to work with SOCOM 4. And what else? SOCOM 4, Little Big Planet, and iPad. And they've also announced some specific games that come out just for the system. Move Party. Oh, God. And this just sucks, man. This is just a real bummer. You know what? Like I often say how I really never hope that something fails, because I like to, you know, it's in my interest that everything does well, my financial interest. And of course, you know, who wants to be a dick and hope failure on somebody?
You know,
not me. No, not me. Well, sometimes, but...
You right usually, now.
Me right now, I think we're just totally on the wrong track here. I mean, is this what we're really looking for? And more archery games? Is that what we need?
Well, you know, I want one that's a little more realistic in character design, and I think the PlayStation 3 is finally to come through with an archery game that plays exactly the same as the archery game I already have.
But has right, people but the that, graphics will be much better.
But the graphics are better. And, you know, who doesn't want that? Because I need another game that has a, you know, a lifespan of 10 minutes.
Right. That's a $100 add-on
that,
to your
that
system.
Costs $100.
Oh, man. We need a good name for PlayStation Move now.
How about the PlayStation BM? The bowel
the movement.
The bowel
the
movement.
Yeah.
The BM, yes.
The BM? Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just a real bummer. And you know, God, so now, you know, we're all going to E3, and of course I'm excited about E3 already, but now that I'm thinking about it, what percent of E3 is going to be dominated with the garbage from the BM and the shitbox?
Oh, it's going to be so much fun, though.
Ugh.
you could BM in your shitbox.
And you know what's funny? It's like, I'm not singling anybody out here. I just happen to be on joystick now, and they... you know, they write about this stuff like they actually sort of excited by it. But when we're at E3 and you're talking to all the game writers there, they're all sick of this shit too. They just don't really come out and say it on their websites because it's tough for them to do so. But they're all sick of this shit. None of them really thinks that, you know, this is going to be the next best thing in gaming. PlayStation Move and Natal. Nobody's excited about it. They just have to write about it because all the other sites are writing about it, and they can't take like the negative spin that we're taking because I don't know. Why can't they do that?
Because they're beholden to getting stuff.
I guess so. Right. They're sort of relying upon being invited to these events where, frankly, I don't give a shit if we are or not. It's a little disheartening.
So you're getting it.
Getting what? Buying it? I'll buy it just so I can make fun of it. Or, you know what? Look, like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I hope this thing is the best thing ever, and I hope I love it.
Well, that's really the problem with a lot of this stuff, though, is that even if it turns out being good, you have to worry about them supporting it still.
Of course.
Like, you could really find something that you love about it, and then 2 years later, they might not pay it any attention whatsoever.
Let me just read you the list of titles that we know about for the Bowel Movement. Sports Champion, The Shoot, Slider, TV Superstars, Move Party, and Motion Fighter. Now, if I said to you, Wombat, come up with a list of the six most generic sounding game titles, I bet it would come pretty close to that list. Slider? Really? Slider?
I love Motion Fighter. That's my favorite. These sound like Atari 2600 names.
Right.
They do. Like back also, when you just bought like boxing.
Motion Fighter sounds like someone who would be against motion.
Right, that's me. I'm the Motion Fighter.
You're a Motion Fighter. GPD Motion Fighter.
I just hope it'd be like you trying to fight gravity, like you gotta push like a boulder up a hill or something.
Sisyphus the game?
Right. I mean, really.
You just stand there with your arms out.
It's called Dukeson.
Right. See how long you can hold your arms up? I don't know. You're right, Wombat. I am officially a Motion Fighter. They should put me in that game. And when you select me as a character, I just tell you to throw your controllers right in the garbage. I say, hey, take your sub controller and, you know, put it in your garbage compactor.
I do like sub controller though.
Sub controller. They should make a game called Sub Controller.
Yeah.
You can control a sub.
I got it. Thanks.
Right. They say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it'll come bundled with drag racing.
Yeah, the headline on joystick is PlayStation Move Sub Controller. Don't call it a nunchuck. Yeah, because nunchuck actually has a little bit of personality to it. Let's just call it Sub Controller. Let's call one of our launch titles Slider.
Yeah, what? It's about time White Castle started making video games.
I mean, PlayStation Move. They should have called it PlayStation like Move Thing. That way, it would sound even more generic. I mean,
I kind of liked Arc.
Arc is better than Move.
Move, yeah.
I get their advertising. They're going for these action verbs. They're trying to build this positivity behind these things. I get it, but I don't want it.
Yeah, Motion Fighter.
I might want Motion Fighter.
Hey guys, come on over. We can play The Shoot. It's gonna be awesome, dude. Bring your sub controller. One of mine's broken. Oh, wait, I should bring over my controller. No. I have the main controller. Just bring over the sub controller, okay? Wait a minute. Which is the sub controller? Is that the one with the ball on top, or is that the one that looks like the Wii Nunchuck?
Now, does this take batteries, or is this charged the same way as the DualShock?
The pictures look like it has batteries that stick.
Yeah, it could go fuck itself. Then I'm gonna go right out and say it. If this requires batteries, literally, it could go fuck itself.
Why? Because, oh, yeah, it does. I can see the slot.
Yeah, there. I don't... Why? Because the Wiimote runs through batteries really quickly, and that's the Wiimote. I can only imagine this thing with a fucking flashlight on top. I don't know. I'm not spending more money in batteries a year to play games than I do on games a year.
We should have a contest, like when this thing comes out, like the first CAG to take a picture of themselves shoving the thing right up their ass wins a prize.
What's the prize?
Which one? The subcontroller or the
ball thing?
The ball one, okay.
And do you want to have a prize for men and women?
I don't care. I don't really care. What's it called that the one that isn't the subcontroller? What's that called?
That's
the fleshlight?
The fleshlight. That's the fleshlight.
The ball thing.
The ball thing.
All right. Well, I think that's enough move talk, right? It's movement. Ugh. The worst part, honestly, the worst part, and I'm being very selfish here, is that when we go to E3, what percentage of the Sony and Microsoft press conferences is going to consist of Natal and ball thing?
Too much.
It'll be fun. We had abstract elephant painting last year, so.
Everyone just sits there, and all the press and stuff, they just sit there and they rip on it the entire time. Everybody's making little jokes to each other about it the entire time.
But then they go out and they write articles that are positive, or at least not negative.
Know. Right. Right. Someone write a really scathing article. Wombat, get on that.
I'll get started right now.
These presentations, those part of the presentations are for the Entertainment Weeklies and the Time magazines and stuff. Like,
right, and Oprah.
They're well beyond the gaming press there when they're doing
meanwhile,
these presentations.
Yeah, 90% of the audience are gaming press, though.
And I'm going to have the same problem with this as I do with certain Wii games with the whole I'm left-handed and using my right arm to aim is worthless because my right arm is basically jello.
I bet you can shove it up your ass just the same as anybody else.
I probably could. I don't know if I'd enjoy it more or less than some of our listeners. But, you know, I don't know what the prize is yet, so I don't know if I'm going to try it.
Well, if I do this contest and somebody, like, tears their anus, will I be legally responsible?
Yes,
we're going to have to come up with waivers.
Yeah,
you'd have to.
You got to get a waiver out there.
All right, well, we'll think about that. Anything else for Sony? Anything else that we can just rag on?
I like God of War 3.
Right. And keep in mind, this is not an anti-PlayStation rant. I feel the exact same way about Project Shitbox. They just didn't announce anything at GDC today. I'm sure we'll get to that really soon. By next week.
We'll have Shitbox to make fun of.
Yeah. I mean, we've made fun of that plenty.
Yes, we have.
Moving on to Microsoft. Good news, Wombat. You can finally change your gamer tag to what you always wanted it to be. I love gay sex, because they've revised their terms of use and code of conduct. So now you can include stuff about your race, nationality, religion, and sexual orientation in your gamer tag and or profile. Good news.
It's good news for Microsoft's bottom line too, because they get $10 each time you change your name.
I can start using those gay.com usernames that are all over the site.
Like what?
That's I was looking some up. I wanted to try some fun ones. Because some of them get really, really...
disgusting.
Here we go. Own ass slave. That's
I don't know if you could use that.
Ultra hard.
So you could probably have used that before. The rule was that you couldn't talk about your sexual orientation. So, like, I couldn't even... Like, my username, my gamer tag couldn't be I am straight. Like, that would be forbidden. Because that's a sexual orientation, being straight. But now you can. So ultra hard, you know, if you're gay or straight, you would probably want to advertise the fact that
horny
you're ultra
bottom,
hard.
Horny bottom? How about that?
Horny bottom, I mean, that could be a straight woman. Well, I don't know. That's a tough one. So I guess Shipwreck called this the gay tax when we were talking about it earlier. Because I guess a lot of gay people had their gamer tags. They had to change their gamer tags, right?
Right. And now they can't get those back. They have to, if they want to have their sexual orientation out there in their gamer tag, now they have to pay $10 to do it.
Their gamer tag.
I don't get it.
Straighter tag.
No, it didn't work.
Anyway, so there you go. Look, I mean, you got to be insane. To give yourself like put something gay on your profile or in your gamer tag. I mean, you don't say anything and you're playing in a match of Halo or something and you're going to be called a fag anyway.
Well, that's just it though. You're going to be called a fag anyway. You might as well be proud of who you are.
Yeah, but then it just gets ridiculous.
I don't know. I don't think that that should be the person. I don't think that should be your problem. That's the problem of the person that, for some reason, feels the need to be belligerent.
Well, unfortunately, it's most of the people out there are that way.
Yeah, but why should I not be who I am because of that?
Okay, go ahead, dude.
I will.
You should come out of that closet now.
I will. Gay wombat.
You have an announcement to make?
Yeah, I'm gay.
Right. Great. All right.
I am gay.
Anyway, I'm very curious to see, like, if you're a gay guy.
I might be flattered, maybe a little bit curious, but I don't go in for those backdoor shenanigans.
Right. I would imagine that any gay person who had actually promoted the fact on their profile or gamer tag has long since changed it anyway because they got tired of being called a faggot every time they played a game with somebody.
I don't know. How often do you read someone's profile when you're playing a
Halo? Well, the gamer tag, though, you do. But what are you going to put in your gamer tag? Like, you know, I love penis?
Sure.
Okay. Do we have anything else from God King? Do you have anything else for Microsoft or no? I mean, it's pretty
wild. I actually heard this story on the radio this morning, which is why I put it on here. I thought it was funny.
Oh, okay.
That the mayor of Baltimore has been arrested on all sorts of charges, but the item that they caught her on that she accepted as a bribe, like the smoking gun, as they say, was her gifted Xbox 360, which she got. And that's what they used as the primary piece of evidence to arrest her.
Can you imagine being of such low moral character that you can be, as a mayor, you can be bought for a freaking Xbox 360?
Isn't that crazy?
Do you have no self-respect whatsoever? I mean, why don't you hold out for something, you know, a little more high-ticket item? An Xbox 360? I mean, come on. That's pretty pathetic.
She purchased the Xbox 360 with gift cards given to her by developers. And I assume they mean, like, land developers?
Land developers, yeah. Not yes. Game developers.
No, and the gift cards...
Not Bethesda.
exactly. And the gift cards were supposed to go to charities.
Oh, that's nice. That's real classy. Mm. So anyway, you can buy this thing on eBay, right?
Yeah, they're selling it now.
Yeah, it was at like $850 last I checked.
That's hysterical.
Does anybody have anything for Nintendo? Anyone? Bueller? I have some Nintendo news. I gave my American Wii to Jon Snow so he could play Super Mario Galaxy. I lent it to him. I didn't give it to him.
I could also tell a funny story. My brother, who actually listens to the show, which I had no idea he does, he told me this week, he has his unopened Wii in his attic because his wife won't let him open it.
Why?
Because she doesn't think the kids are old enough to see a video game system.
How old are the kids? 14?
Yeah, they're 80 and 82. No, right. They're both 4.
Oh.
So, yeah. You know, not that they haven't played a Wii before.
Right.
But
they don't want it in the home.
No, yeah, not
fair enough.
Yeah, that's one of my nieces is 5 years old and she's just addicted to Mario Kart, so it can go both ways.
Maybe they're better off.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I just thought that was funny.
Let me do a very quick iPhone thing here and then we'll get onto the CAG bag. Our friends Nelson Rodriguez and Chris Palladino and a couple of other guys who were formerly with the Gamerscore blog, they started their own marketing company. And in addition to promoting games, they've actually produced their own iPhone game, which has just come out, and it's called Tweet Defense. It's a tower defense game. And what you, the sort of the Twitter angle is, if you log in with your Twitter account, it doesn't go and spam your friends or anything like that. It doesn't actually send any tweets at all, but it takes the statistics off of your Twitter account and will power up your towers accordingly, depending on how many tweets you have tweeted or how many friends and followers you have. How many people what is it? It's the... Yeah, I guess that's it. Those three things.
You're doing a great job selling your friend's game there.
Sorry. Sorry.
It's on the iPhone. It does stuff. It costs $1. Buy it.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm trying to say. I actually voice one of the zombies in the game. And by voice, I mean I go, see if you can guess which one is me. I don't even know, actually. And I'm also there's a featured booster, and if you follow me on Twitter through the app, then it'll, and then you put the booster tower in your game, it'll power up the towers that are in range of it. Anyway, it's a buck. Why don't you check it out? Give our friends 70 cents by buying this game.
Yeah, I bought it. I haven't played it yet, but I bought it.
Yeah. They tried. Chris tried to give me like a free code. I was like, dude, it's $1. what kind of a jerk would I have to be to take a free code from you?
A wombat jerk.
Yeah, wombat. Did you get a free code for it?
I don't even have a system to play it on.
So you got 3 free codes? You're selling them on eBay for
$3 each.
So I don't know. Check it out. Tweet Defense. Beautiful. All right, it's time for the CAG bag. Rye Watteska says he wants to talk about how disappointing the first real Mass Effect 2 downloadable content is, and then he posts videos between a comparison of the new Hammerhead vehicle and Star Wars Clone Wars. Clone Wars? Was that it? I think so.
Yeah, it was a bundle game.
Yeah,
with Xbox.
I remember that. That's the one I got for a penny from
Xbox One. Yes, the Xbox One. I should be specific.
I gotta sort of agree with him in a way, because really, if I'm playing Mass Effect, I don't want to be flying around a ground vehicle and shooting people with a cannon. I want my Shepard and my space bitches with me, and I want to, you know, be shooting people in the face and launch them in the air and that kind of good stuff. So I don't know, like, I'm not that excited about this Hammerhead thing. Am I missing something?
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but I'll play it. It's free.
Right, it is free if you have the Cerebus network.
That's my answer. Okay. They released a new weapon this week for Mass Effect 2.
I saw that. I did not try it yet, though.
It's a lightning gun. I was going to play that and download that. I'm like, ooh, do I want to shoot lightning in Mass Effect 2, or do I want to shoot lightning in Bioshock 2? So.
And what was the answer?
I shot lightning in Bioshock 2.
Right. You'll shoot the lightning in Mass Effect 2 later.
Yes. There's plenty of lightning to be shot.
Let's see. 125125 says, with the Mass Effect 2 discussion table being last, what kind of grammar is this? with the Mass Effect 2 discussion table being last podcast, my question is for the three of you guys. Wow, I hope English is not this guy's first language, because my question is for the three of you guys, comma, if each of you guys were Commander Shepard, comma, who do you think your other partners represent? Example, Shipwreck thinks GPD is Zaid, Wombat is Jack. Please explain your reasoning for your choices. I got to go with Shipwreck as Mordrin.
I could see that. Yeah, I would agree.
I could see, like, Mordrin, you know, I mean, he doesn't really come across as being, like, anal. But I don't know if Shipwreck is really anal. Are you anal, Shipwreck?
Yes.
I think so. Am I?
How many spreadsheets do you have?
For Dead or Alive, or
Shipwreck sent me a link to what was the website?
I think it's Neotaku. Let me find it. It's something like that.
If you search Robert Good, Dead or Alive, you come up with a lot of facts for Dead or Alive.
Yeah, it's Neotaku.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote a lot of facts for. Not just Dead or Alive, for Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Love item fact. Character reactions to GIFs in Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball. Shipwreck. Robert Good. Shipwreck.
Yes, I did that.
It's long. Oh, it's long, and there's a lot of lists.
How bored were you?
I was pretty bored.
What was going on? Yeah, what's going on in your life?
Because I'm looking at this now. This is crazy.
No, it's insane. And this was only 7 years ago. God, seven
years
ago.
This is 2003, and you were married at this point?
No, I was not married at this point. This is when I was out of undergrad, and Mrs. Shipwreck was still in undergrad and was 2 hours away. And so I'd come home from work.
You can only masturbate so many times a day.
Right.
To Dead or Alive, anyway.
Yeah, and so I didn't have that good of a stamina, so I'd still be playing the game, so I just started up a spreadsheet.
You might as well just make a lot of notes.
Yeah.
The amazing thing is that you were able to get married after you wrote this up.
Yeah,
did Mrs. Shipwreck know that this existed?
She definitely knows that existed. The new game's coming out this month, like for the PSP it's coming out.
Yeah.
And she was excited for me that it was coming out because she knows that I like that game.
Did she make sure that your Excel was upgraded to the latest version?
Oh, I'm hoping that it's that all the people still like the same stuff. Because I right. kind of still remember what some of the characters like and dislike.
Really? Who likes the teddy bear?
The teddy bear.
The pink teddy bear.
Oh, gosh. Pink. Pink. Li Fang is yellow.
Hey, that's racist.
I know, but I remember that one. Hitomi is orange. I don't remember who pink is.
Give us a guess.
I think it's Hitomi.
It's Kasumi.
Kasumi. Okay. I'm a big Hitomi guy. Is that what this question was? Which of the Dead or Alive girls do we like best?
Yeah, I think so. No, it was the Mass Effect. Who is who in Mass Effect?
Okay, so I'm Morden.
Wombat just killed himself.
Oh, what? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were still talking to Shipwreck.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm not talking to you.
You never said who I was in Mass Effect. You said
I'm sorry. Let's see who you are.
We don't have a Volus in our party, right?
Right, we don't.
That's rough. So that's really. That's rough.
No,
come on.
Maybe Zaid, because you're like a bitter guy.
See, I was thinking Joker, but he's not really in your party.
Wow, both of you guys just mean.
Well, who Joker's mean?
At least I shot a shotgun. I could be a Krogan.
No. I don't think anybody's really threatened by you.
You'd be surprised.
I would be surprised.
You would be surprised. I could be thinking.
You've got a nice rack, maybe Samara?
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Thanks.
How's your ass looking these days?
It's not bad, actually. You know, yeah. Slamming, if I had to describe it in a word.
I don't know. I see you as Joker. I don't see that as a bad thing.
Whatever. You're the doctor. I'm on.
Right.
Well, and Chibi's the cook.
I'm the cook? I'm the cook. Why am I? I've never cooked anything.
Yeah, but he's bald.
Why am I the cook?
You two are the two guys in the quarters that don't move the whole game.
Who do you want to be, Wombat?
Doesn't matter.
Won't hurt your finger feelings.
Miranda.
With
the slam. This is like grade school all over again, where I had to be R2-D2.
R2-D2 and a rock. Right?
Exactly.
For Cheapy, I would say Garrus, maybe? I don't know. It's a toss-up between Garrus and Jacob, really, for me.
The black guy?
Yeah. You kind of got that vibe.
What, boring?
Both boring and ripped and very dark-skinned.
Yeah, that's when I think of you, I think of dark-skinned. You could be Legion.
Right,
Shipwreck
could
be Legion.
All right, so let's see what else we got. All right, here's a question for us, Wombat, an important question, and I'm sure you have the answer for this. Chernobyl Cow says... He's got a question for us Jews. I grew up in a small Texas town and never really met any Jews, but my best friend in college was a Jew from Rochester, New York. So sure, we smoked some product and played some Nintendo 64, but something was always reoccurring with him. Is there a Jewish stereotype for talking about poop, worrying about taking a crap, and or being sick all of the time in general? My friend seemed to get a stomach bug every other week and complain about it all the time. You guys seem to talk about the same realm of topic on the CatCast a lot. I don't even remember the last time I got sick, and we're talking 2+ years. Cheapy seems to be more guilty of this than Wombat, however. Wombat, what's the answer?
Okay, here it is. It's, well, Jews are historically comedic. And poop is universally funny.
Yes.
So talking about poop is a good way to make friends. And Jews just want to make friends.
Okay.
That sounds reasonable, right?
Absolutely.
I just made that up, and I'm going to stay with it.
Go on, though. There's more. What about his friend getting a stomach bug every
other
week?
I think
and complain about it. That's the key. Jews like to complain.
I think it's just that Jews like to complain.
Yeah. Slight hypochondria. And complaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good combo. The Jewish combo.
Exactly. So there you go.
A lot of people wrote me messages and sent me emails and all this stuff. So I'll read this one from JSD. He says, Chibi, I read this article on Kotaku about a foreigner's experiences and observations living in Japan. And he wants to know if I've seen some of the bizarre things that he's described. Corporate people getting hammered and screaming in the streets, business employees paid to bark out incoherent nonsense on megaphones. And can you elaborate on any of the you wouldn't understand it's a Japanese thing mentality? I'll just say this very quickly. He's talking about the Tim Rogers article that was on Kotaku that got like 270,000 page views. It was called Living in Japan is Not Funny Anymore or something like that. And the point of the article is that he hates living in Japan now. First of all, my experience is going to be very different than him because I, you know, don't leave my apartment that much. And he's just a Tim. I've met Tim several times. He's a very strange guy. Okay. Just look at the article. It's like a million pages long. I don't think I've written that much in the last 10 years as he wrote, you know, combined as he wrote in that one single article. I'll say the one thing that I agreed with him was the smoking situation. Japanese people smoke way too much, and the whole smoking section thing is really annoying because it's not really implemented well here. But, you know, and yes, of course you see a lot of drunk Japanese businessmen because they drink like three beers and they're shit-faced. And it's not a crime to be drunk in public here. So that's why you see that. And yes, I guess there's a tradition of yelling shit out in megaphones if you're trying to sell something. But other than that, I didn't read the article. I just skimmed it because it's way too long. And that's all I have to say about that. And also, Tim is very weird. So you should take that into consideration when you read anything that he writes. Last time I saw him, he had blue hair. And he looked like he needed a sandwich badly. So there. Anything else, Wombat, that we need to mention here?
I'm looking. I don't think so.
Would you like to say goodbye?
I guess, but, you know, I like everyone so much.
Hmm.
Right. Shipwreck, well, anything?
I'm good. I think we put in a solid 2 hours here or so.
Do you want to go back and make fun of the Sony Move?
That's okay.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up and thank everybody for listening. We want to certainly remind you to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/GBD, twitter.com/wombat5277. And also /shipwreck. We've also got the video game deals account and UK game deals if you're living in the United Kingdom. Also, wow, PAX is approaching, Wombat. When is that?
Not like in 2 weeks almost. Three Fridays from now.
Please come and visit Wombat at the online gaming communities thing. what do you call that? Panel? On 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. on Friday.
If you go to the official PAX East website, my name is on it now for the panel.
Wombat, it says?
It says my real name.
Jerky McGee?
Jerky Wombat McGee.
And anything else? Shipwreck, will you be anywhere on any panels?
I will not. I will be in Columbus, Ohio at a fifth grade girls basketball tournament if anybody wants to stop by.
Yeah, excellent. Shipwreck sold me out.
How do you mean?
He's not going, and I'm upset.
Wombat was really nice, though. He offered, if I just bought a cheap flight and came to New York, he would drive me to PAX. His wife would stay with a friend while I shared the hotel room with Wombat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not all bad.
No, that was very nice
to see. I wanted to see my friend, but now I'm not going to, so I'm a little bummed.
Yeah.
Why aren't you going?
Because I have that basketball tournament.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, you'll see each other during E3.
Whatever.
Hey, if you guys want to share a hotel room, you save me a lot of money.
No, you don't get off the hook that easy.
Damn.
Nice try.
Yeah, no, I feel that as a reward for doing stuff for CAG, that you should have a nice trip to E3. That's why you get your own hotel room.
Yeah, no, I'm very much looking forward to it, and I really hope it's a good time.
Yeah, so, it'll be fun no matter what.
Are you going to come with me and check out the gay company in LA?
No, I'll be busy.
Well, you know.
I'll be busy. Sweatshirts.
I'll be looking at games, and Wombat will be at the gay company, whatever that is.
That'll be our E3 coverage.
I think I'm going to be spending time looking at games as well. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yes.
And I want to go online and say, do you know who I am?
Right, they'll say no, and you'll say, yeah, I figured.
I'm Brian Crescente from Kotaku.com.
Right. You're a spitting image. I thought that we should hire some models to come around with us while we just go look at stuff.
Is models in quotes?
No. Like, some people call them escorts. To models to quote unquote escort us around the show floor. I thought we could have like the cheap ass gamer dancers. So anytime we go somewhere, they would just be like dancing in front of us.
That's not bad. We gotta get like them. That. We gotta get them press passes though.
Well, they don't need press passes. They just need regular passes. The press pass doesn't really do anything for you. You have to. It's the same as the regular pass.
It gets you bumped up in line. Lets you go into it certain does? Areas. Yeah, we got bumped really? Up in the line all the time last year.
We did.
Uh huh.
There were lines.
Yes, the clear-headed ones out of us knew that there were lines and that we were getting bumped to the front of them.
I see. Okay. Anyway, I'll also remind people to go to GoDaddy.com and register domain names and get cheap web hosting. Use coupon code CAG10 to get 10% off any order, CAG5 off 30 to get $5 off a $30 order, or CAG domain to get $6.95 domain names.
We should just get the GoDaddy girls.
We need our quality of women might be a little lower than those.
Definitely.
Unless you guys, because you guys aren't sharing a hotel room, our women may not have all their teeth.
Maybe we have forum members that are willing to volunteer that live in the area. That would be free.
That are women?
Sure. We have like 3 female listeners.
Right. I don't know about that. Are they willing to wear miniskirts and tube tops?
I don't know. I think maybe they should send you photos.
Okay. Send your photos to Cheapy. Don't send me anything. I can already tell the kind of stuff I'm going to be getting right now. I'm going to get gaping anuses from fat men.
Excellent. Make sure to send those photos to cheapyd@cheapassgamer.com.
Right.
Again, that's CHEAPYD at cheapassgamer.com.
And if you want to see my gaping anus, just come visit Tokyo Tower around like 10:30 at night. And you'll just look down. And you will see something nasty. All right. Let's say this is dragging on far too long. I need to eat lunch. So I will say goodbye and see you next week. That is all.
Gaping anus.
Goodbye.
It's the Sega Summer Sizzle. Buy a Sega Genesis system before July 1st and get a free powered bass converter. It lets you play over 120 Sega Master and Genesis games. You also get an extra Genesis game or 2 Sega Master games, up to an $80 value, free.
Wait,
you already own a Genesis system? Buy 2 Genesis games and choose either the Power Base Converter, a third Genesis game, or 2 Sega Master games, free. It's summer, dudes, and this is hot.